Blog Talk Radio.
Please, I
say your name.
Pledge
that from this day forward,
I will strive
to love my brother
as I love myself.
I
say your name. Little boys
or little girls
for sexual gratification.
Assalamu alaikum. You are out on the front line with the fruit of Islam. I am your host, Jihad Muhammad, coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Tonight, we welcome all to our anniversary celebration of this show. Part one, topic tonight, put the Muslim program to Congress and the time and what must be done in review. At the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks with Student Minister Abel Muhammad of Mas Maryam, Student Minister Robert Muhammad of Compton, California, Student Minister Charles Muhammad of Phoenix, Arizona, Chief Magistrate Court Justice Maurice Muhammad of Birmingham, Alabama, and the People's Attorney, Brother Kenneth Muhammad from Atlanta, Georgia. They are all here tonight to celebrate our anniversary show and to put the Muslim program to Congress. Also, Boots on the Ground, with the Soldiers of Peace, the Fruit of Islam. We will show just where Muhammad's got the devil on the run this week with the Final Call newspaper. So sit back, get your questions ready, get your comments ready. Buckle up. The Soldiers of Peace are in the building. Let's ride. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant. Either if you're on the internet or if you're on home, with the repeating words of peace, of Assalamualaikum, and welcome to our anniversary show, part one. We intend to celebrate this anniversary for the rest of the month. Let me give a special shout out to my two lovely daughters, Almisa Muhammad. Today is her birthday, and my lovely baby girl, Mariah Muhammad. Her birthday was on the 5th. Shout out to both of you and happy birth anniversary, and may Allah continue to bless you. You're two beautiful girls. Love you so much. Let me get started with my show here tonight. We have a all-star lineup for you tonight. If there's such Scottie Pippen, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, D. Wade, Kobe Bryant, you name it. Tonight we're starting off the anniversary show with an all-star lineup. Let's go to the lines right now. Let me introduce to you from Phoenix, Arizona, my brother, he's no stranger to the show, Student Minister Charles Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, beloved. I am greatly honored to be a part of this anniversary show. And it's always an honor to stand up and help a man that has helped us before we even knew how to help ourselves. So in aiding you in this show and just aiding our strength, our words, our mouths, our minds, and our spirit to support the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is a great honor.
Praise be to Allah. And thank you for coming on tonight, sir. It is indeed honor, brother. I get a lot of emails whenever you're on the show. People are highly inspired.
Praise be to Allah.
By your representation of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Also with us tonight, our brother was on. He lit the place up, and I got a lot of emails about our brother from Compton, California, Muhammad Smiles 54. Please receive to the panel at the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks, Student Minister Robert Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, dear brother Jihad. First, let me thank you and all of your staff for inviting me on to be a part of your anniversary show. I am very honored as I believe all that is on is honored. You made a statement that it's the all-star lineup. Well, I would like to say that with all of the great talent in the world, that talent couldn't be nothing if they didn't have a great coach that will pull all of those talents together and make them work for one single cause and win the championship for our people. So I am honored to be on with these great student ministers, and I'm honored that you have us on. And thank you very much again, beloved, for inviting me on your show.
And thank you, sir. Last time you was here, you burnt the building down. I got nothing but emails. Yes, sir. My brother that I'm about to introduce to you is one of the founders of the show. He started the show off with us, and he's been with us ever since. He's a background man of the show. He's a studier and a scholar of law. Please bring to the mics my brother, Chief Magistrate Court Justice, Brother Maurice Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum, sir.
Wa alaykum salam. How are you, dear brother, and all my brothers on the line? Happy anniversary, Boots on the Ground.
Wa alaykum salam, and thank you, beloved. How are you tonight?
Brother, I am wonderful. I'm honored. It's a pleasure to be online with you and the highly esteemed brothers that are sharing airways tonight. I'm sitting back, just waiting to learn and ready to fire it up. It's just I'm just so happy for you and this anniversary show. I want to thank Almighty God for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for the gift of brotherhood and the gift of knowledge that they have imparted upon us, so that we may be lights and smaller lights under the big light of Allah today, and to help our minister to get this word out that needs to be in every nook and cranny in the world.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, beloved. And we're always honored, brother, whenever you come on to talk to your listening audience, because, as we say, brother, we started this thing together, brother, and you've been there every
Praise
step of the way.
Allah.
Is our brother, the attorney Kenneth Muhammad, on the line? He may not have checked in yet. The attorney should be on presently.
Oh, can you hear me?
There he is.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you
okay.
Loud and clear. As-salamu alaykum, sir.
Wa alaykum salam. It's an honor and congratulations, brother. You've put together a wonderful show, a wonderful program. It's been a blessing to a lot of people. And it's an honor for me to be invited, and as-salamu alaykum to all of the other panelists.
Wa alaykum salam. Praise be to Allah, Brother Kenneth, and thank you so much for being on with us tonight. Another pioneer who started with us with this show as well. We did Black America on Lockdown, which was our first series that we did, 9/11. And our brother was right here, the attorney, and Brother James Muhammad. We got to get him back on, the prison reform minister of the state of Alabama. Shout out to my brother. Love you and miss you, sir. And please get back on the show, please. And also our brother who started out at the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks, student minister Abel Muhammad, who will be with us shortly. He's running a little bit behind schedule, but he will be in shortly. He's going to hit me up as soon as he gets on the line. So let me get started first right now by going to talk about putting the Muslim program before Congress. Tonight we want to do something a little different. The program and position of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. This is what we want to do with that program and position tonight. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that what we need is a Muslim politician, although it is very difficult for him to advise his followers to get involved in the wicked politics of the United States of America. But he said a Muslim politician is what you need, and he went to name a few politicians that he thought would make good representatives of our nation, state, and territory if we had. So tonight what we want to do is, tonight you all will be the representatives that will speak to the body and show just why the solution of what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us in the program and position is the best and only solution. Tonight you'll be speaking to the people who represent the Congress. and you will be their representatives tonight, and you're going to put forth Muhammad's program. I will ask you the questions according to the constitution or the program and position of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad on what the Muslims want and what the Muslims believe, and you will respond in kind. Now, I'm going to move around, and I'm not going to take them all in the order. And the reason for that is because we're doing part two of this show next week and part three next week. So we want to save some for the other panelists that are going to represent the Congress for the people on the program and position. For anyone who wants to follow me with this, just go into the back page of the Final Call newspaper, and you can see where this position is on the back page, and follow along with us. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has made this the back page of every one of our newspapers. So you can go and get a Final Call, or you can go to Message to the Black Man and Brown page 170, 171, 172 of Message to the Black Man, and follow me there as well. So let's get started. Let me go number one. I'm going to start here and ask Brother Student Minister Charles Muhammad, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, number one, this is the question asked most frequently by both the whites and the blacks. The answers to this question I shall state as simply as possible. Number one, we want freedom. We want a full and complete freedom. Could you talk to the Congress tonight, sir, the listening audience, all over the United States and throughout Africa? Belize is on the line. Mexico is on the line. Dominican Republic is on the line. Romania is on the line. And France is on the line. And there are those in England that are on the line as well. Could you, sir, tonight for us, Brother Charles, sir, could you explain what is a full and complete freedom that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is talking about?
Well, first, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness to the oneness of the Creator, Almighty God, Allah Himself, and we thank Him for His coming to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, and we thank Him for raising up from among us a divine leader, teacher, and guide in the personage of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who was in the first 40 years considered a messenger, and in the latter part of his mission was exalted to God's right hand, the exalted Christ. And we thank Him for preparing one for us to act as a standard bearer and champion and faithful servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Once again, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
This question, this what is freedom? And we want a full and complete freedom. Freedom for us means that we must be untied. Freedom for us as a people here in America, I'm talking about the black man and woman here in America first, but it applies to all. But when you look at the condition of us here in America, we needed special attention because we had a special and wretched condition. So when he said we want freedom, we need to be untied our umbilical cord from the biblical scripture that says that in the days of their nativity, they were loathing in a field in their own blood, and their navel was not cut, nor were they washed or swaddled at all. So we have to be, first of all, cut from our surrogate parents, which has been the people who established America, that brought our people into slavery, so that we would have a cry of freedom. So we have to be our umbilical cord. You know, when the baby is attached to the mother, the umbilical cord is that which allows feeding and excrement to go through that child, and that mother, whatever that mother is feeding on, is going to be feeding that child. So whatever we have been, whatever those who have held us in captivity, have been feeding us. That's what we've been receiving for nourishment and food, spiritual, mental, and physical. So at some point, the umbilical cord has to be cut. And on the coming of God, on the coming of this great Mahdi, that the scripture says would come to a people who would be lost and turned upside down and inside out, those people would receive a guide and a messenger from God to actually give them the nourishment to grow up, to be able to detach from their surrogate parents. So we need an education system of our own. We need everything of our own. We need to be able to feed ourselves. So the first road to freedom, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us, is a people have to be able to feed themselves. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that we need some farmland. And we know that freedom, when that umbilical cord is cut, we must apply that freedom in a holistic manner. It can't be just compartmentalized for a specific narrow view of freedom, but it must be in a way that it is holistic in its approach. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad asked Minister Farrakhan, "Brother, if my people eat three times a day and they eat one slice of bread per meal, and we have 30 million people, that's 90 slices of bread per day, how much land, farmland, do we need to be put under wheat cultivation to give my people their daily bread?" That is a holistic approach. Nobody thinks like that. So freedom means responsibility. And at some point, the minister's got the scissors and he's cutting the umbilical cord and cutting us away from the debauchery, the filth, and the licentious behavior and the small thinking that we have been under for so many years and decades, that we must get up and do something for ourselves to realize a full and complete freedom, which means responsibility. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Student Minister Robert Muhammad, sir, the number two question, he states, we want justice, equal justice under the law. We want justice applied equally to all, regardless of creed or class or color. What say you, sir?
Yes, sir. Well, of course, I have to begin to thanking the great God, Allah, coming in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, for raising the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and for giving to us a perfect example that is the perfect student of his father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Dear brother, I would like to say to the justice is a result of that which is owed for an action that is rendered. If that action rendered is in detriment to a people, then the justice that is given to the people that are seeking a resolve from that action is in accord first with divine law. So if we're looking for, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that we want justice, we're not looking for the metered out justice that is on the books of our oppressor where you can skate in and out of the laws that he set up and give this fake justice to a people. We're looking for the justice from the Lord of the worlds. And that justice that Allah is wanting to give to a people is rendered out of his divine mind. So if the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is saying that we want justice, equal justice under the law, what law are we looking at? We're not looking at America's laws. We're not looking at France's laws. We're not looking at Great Britain's law, because we know that these laws are laws that were set up by the Caucasian to further their world. We want equal justice under the law of Almighty God, Allah. And if that justice is coming under his law, then that justice will always be applied equally to all, because
in our flag, the sun, moon, and star. Well, then the sun then is that great freedom. The star is that justice, but that moon is that equalizer. So if the sun is Allah and the moon is his messenger, then out of the mind of Allah and through his messengers, Allah will send the proper way for us to give justice to the people under the law. Dear brother, he says it like this. Allah God, in his infinite wisdom, there was one that was created that will give justice to both sides, the white and the black. What is justice for the Caucasian and what is justice for the black? That is under a divine ordination that is not coming out of our emotions, that is not coming out of things that we're looking for, that is coming from the mind of Allah. So as I end on that point, the justice that we're seeking from is from the mind and the will of Allah that is demonstrated in all of the scriptures through his messenger. And if we want the law equally applied to all under the law, what is under the law of Almighty God, Allah. Thank you, dear brother.
All praise is due to Allah. Let me go. We want equality of opportunity. We want equal membership in society with the best in civilized society. Brother Attorney Kenneth Muhammad, what say you, sir?
Oh, yes, sir. Greetings once again to you and to the listeners. There have been a number of studies.
Oh, did we lose our brother?
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you not hear me?
Yes, sir.
Can you not hear me?
Yeah, I think you muted yourself out for a minute, but go right ahead.
Okay, I think I may have a bad connection because I think that happened a couple of times. But what I was saying is there have been a number of studies done by the United States government with regard to the plight of black people in America. They've done a number of commissions, and they've found consistently that there are essentially two Americas, one black, one white, separate and unequal. And I think one of the biggest numbers of disparities still to this day, and really it's worse than it was back in the 1960s, is the difference in the median wealth of a white family and a black family, where a white family is somewhere in the range of $130,000, and black people have, as a family, a median wealth of about $5,000, where you put together a car, maybe the couch, the TV, and a couple other things, and that's what our people as families have accumulated. This disparity in wealth, there is a difference in educational attainment. There's wide gaps in medical, all of the different aspects of health-related problems. You'll find our people suffering worse than all of the other different groups, ethnic groups, et cetera. When you go down the list, there are these wide disparities. Now, we have tried, whenever you go to heal and correct the condition of a people, the person, each individual person, can basically take it on themselves, and you can have some type of a program where, as they say in America, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, where we can try to say that the black man and woman of America who are in this condition where they find themselves in these disparities, each person, every man for themselves, every woman for themselves, every family for themselves, or you can have a collective approach. The only collective approach that our people have essentially signed on to as a group is the idea of having the government of the United States essentially do or open opportunities for us, open the opportunity for us to go into another person's place of employment, go into someone else's place of business, participate in the political system, et cetera. But we have not looked at the idea of collective effort among ourselves, the very people who are in the terrible condition, to pool their resources among themselves and to formulate a type of collective effort among ourselves. This program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is centered around the idea of collective effort, pooling resources, and taking from among our people all of the various talents that we have, putting it together and putting it together under a divine and a moral order. Now, with regard to the specific wants and beliefs, you asked specifically about we want equality of opportunity. We want equal membership in society with the best in civilized society. You can't pass a law and create what he's talking about. This isn't the kind of thing when he talks about this freedom, this justice, and the equality. You can't just pass some legislation and it exists, because if a person does not have the resources that another person has, you cannot say that the two people are equal when they go out to start their business. If I start out from a fundamentally less advantageous position than another person, then there is no equality. Now, the minister and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad went into this principle of equality. There is, as the minister said, they run races in track meets because one person is faster than the other. Some people have talents that others don't have. But he said you can have one object that is large, another object that is small. They don't look equal, but if you drop them both, they both drop, according to the laws of physics, into the same law, and there's the same rate of acceleration. So equality of opportunity does not mean that each of the individual people, each of the individual families, are going to be identical. But it means that the rules under which, the law under which the people engage themselves, that each of us express ourselves in, is fair, just, equal. And I'm not beginning from a state of inferiority or with a disadvantage. So the only way to have true freedom, justice, and equality is if there is an equal playing field, which means that there's a role for the collective. And when we talk about taking his program to Congress, there is a role, as far as the government goes, for looking at what happened in the past to create the disparities in the first place and to put resources, et cetera, to help us in our collective effort. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad essentially wants our people to stop the mentality of begging and looking to others, to pool our resources under divine moral law amongst ourselves, and to give each person what each person is due so that they can go out into the world and have an equal opportunity because they had the same chances that other people had.
Okay. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, sir. Brother Maurice, sir, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, here's one here. This one is going to take us a minute because I think a lot of people really want to get an understanding of this one. This one is point number four. We want our people in America, whose parents or grandparents were descendants from slaves, to be allowed to establish a separate state or territory of their own, either on this continent or elsewhere. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to provide such land and that the area must be fertile and minerally rich. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to maintain and supply our needs in this separate territory for the next 20 to 25 years until we are able to produce and supply our own needs. Since we cannot get along with them in peace and equality, after giving them 400 years of our sweat and blood and receiving in return some of the worst treatment human beings have ever experienced, we believe our contributions to this land and the suffering forced upon us by white America justifies our demand for complete separation in a state or territory of our own. My question number one to you, Brother Maurice, and to the rest of the panel who would like to address this, what is the difference between state and territory? Brother Maurice, what say you?
Well, thank you, Brother Jihad, for the longest question of the night. But, but I promise it won't be the longest answer. Dear brother, this is number four is a, and first of all, assalamu alaikum to your, to all of the guests and patrons at the show, to my dear brother panelists who have given beautiful answers and very in detailed answers and enlightening answers to those questions. It, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that this is a progression of events, and that's why it's number four, not number one, but after the fact that we have not been able to get along, after you see this fact there, then just like in the world of North America, when two people can't get along, then they file for what is called a divorce. And after we have not been able to have freedom, after we've not been able to have justice and equal opportunity, then it is incumbent upon ourselves to create a new reality for self. And since our grandparents were the ones who took the brunt, and because none of us were ever enslaved, none of us in most cases were never Jim Crowed, but we still feel the effects of the Jim Crow, and those who Jim Crowed still have the results of the Jim Crow. So you don't see any of our counterparts who are white giving monies to black people because of what happened to their parents and maybe this will help us out. No, that is not happening and won't happen. MetLife won't give you any monies back from the policies that they wrote on slaves. Neither will State Farm. So we have to understand that we have to file for a divorce of thinking, a divorce of dependence. And in most cases, people don't seek divorce because they can't survive on their own. So we're asking as a settlement in the divorce and as a tenant of the divorce that you provide certain things. We have a very strong argument because we have produced Crispus Attucks. We have, our people have produced Benjamin Bannekers. Our people have produced Lewis H. Latimers and so many others who have contributed to the success of America, that we can say we produce Elizabeth Freeman that we call my best, and we produce Sally Hemings, and we produced all of these people who have contributed monumentally and still are contributing monumentally, Dr. Ben Carson and so many others who are contributing, but are we receiving the fair shake? Are we receiving what we need as a people to survive independently as a people? So we go to Congress, we go to them and say, look, we have pooled our resources. We're coming together now. And before I go any further, I definitely want to invite everyone that is in the listening audience to Tuskegee, Alabama for the Holy Day of Atonement on October 20th. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will be addressing us dealing with this economic program. But I definitely want to talk about this this divorce decree that in point number four, the foundation of what we will be doing in America for the next 200 to 400 years, we are establishing our own territory. The difference between a territory and a state, a territory is just a land that is organized. A state has a function. A state has a protocol of offices. A state has a functioning peace. there's a state of Alabama, and then there's a territory of Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico operates as a territory of the United States. It is owned by the United States, but it keeps its own autonomy in its way, but the American citizens have way with it. As a state, you're able to go in and out, but you vote for a governor every 4 years. So you have a way to, and if you notice in our makeup, we are called the United States of America. So our makeup is of independent, autonomous bodies, but we work for the common good of one great body. So when we're talking about states, we're talking about organizing. We're talking about our departments, our ministries of justice. We're talking about our ministries of agriculture, our ministries of information coming to life and actually serving the people. But we do this in light of creating our own territory. We see that we're not going to get the fair shake because in 2013 in Alabama, they are introducing legislation that will take away certain voters' rights that had been definitely given by their predecessors. So what about, we don't hear about the white man's voters' rights coming up, so why do we have to look at our voters' rights being dissipated if they were not, if it was a privilege or if it is a right? So if it is a privilege, then the person who grants the privilege can take the privilege away. But if it is a right, then it's a right through law. And this is what we're dealing with today. So we're seeing that we're not getting the fair shake. We're not getting the equal opportunity. We're not getting the equal justice. We're not getting the full and complete freedom. So it is incumbent upon us to separate and do for ourselves.
Beautiful. Let me ask the question to the student minister, Charles, and student minister Robert. Is it, which is more conceivable at this time in history, dear brother ministers, separate state or separate territory or both? What say you? Starting with brother Minister Charles, sir.
Well, the first thing we have to do, brother, I believe, according to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, is have unity, have leadership. We have that. But we have to have a plan. I believe my brother that just spoke about the nine ministries. And this is the form of a government. When you look at most countries, especially Eastern countries, you see that they are operated in their government, their form of government, they have ministries. So when you look at what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan did within the Nation of Islam to expand the functionality to be able to create an environment for our people to come en masse to not just a religious organization come to the mosque to pray and to be taught, that's one thing. But to be able to set a structure in place that would be able to handle the influx of all of the gifts and talents and background and interests that people have that would come to this budding nation. So the ministries of education and transportation and information technology, these are viable aspects of any civilized development in modern time and in modern history. So this whole aspect of us having a territory of our own, which the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that it is the only real solution to the problem of black and white. How can we be respected by our former slave masters when we are not being productive, when we're not producing for ourselves? We're relying on his educational system. We're relying on jobs that he provides for us. We're relying on his styles of dress. We're relying on him to feed us, for him to build our homes for us. Now, there's people that build homes, but I'm talking about on a mass scale and as a people. We have the blueprint of what it means to go free and be independent. Now, the territory is a land or under jurisdiction of a state. You know, it's a region or a district of the U.S., but not completely on its own. But this is, I believe, this will be a start for us, because within the scriptures and the destruction that will come to this land, we will eventually have to leave. However, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan have told us that we will rule before that happens. So, again, we have a responsibility to do something for ourselves so that we can be respected by other nations of the earth and become independent, free, and civilized people as other nations are.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, sir. We got about maybe 10 minutes left on this subject before we move on. But let me say to Brother Student Minister Robert real quick, let's just say, for argument's sake, that like Pharaoh, there was a Pharaoh that said, okay, let the children of Israel go. Let's just say, for argument's sake, they say, you know what, if you want to go, we'll let you go. You want 20 to 25 years to be supplied? We will give you that. Let's just say that they granted this. How would we go, sir? How do you actually go and do this right now if that was to happen?
Yes, sir. Thank you, dear brother. I was going to say, you kind of hit on what I said, if that modern Pharaoh had that type of change of heart, which we know he will not have that type of change of heart. So you asked the question, if it's conceivable for us to have the separate states or territories under this devil, under this enemy? No, sir, he won't let you have it. But let's say, for the sake of argument, that he says, well, you can have it and I'll supply it for the next 20 or 25 years. Well, then we're going right into the topic that you put in front of us. Put the Muslim program before Congress, but in this instance, the Muslim program would be a collective program that will allow us to be able to start to go for self. First of all, we would have to be supplied with the resources for 20 to 25 years. What are those resources? Those resources is a myriad of things. We need all that any nation would need for us to go out and start a new nation if they were to grant us that. So we would need money, we would need resources, tractors, trailers, we would need the whole kit and caboodle so that we can go and furnish a land for ourselves and build that land up so that our people might be able to live in that land. We would also need the divine mind of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad through his servant to first of all pick out what land is arable for us to be able to go live into. Because knowing the Pharaoh and knowing the mind of our enemy, he might give us some land that ain't worth nothing. So we would have to have the type of land that is good for our people, for the type of production of sustaining our people. But it is my belief that if he was to give us that for 20 to 25 years and supply us with that, well, then we would have to go with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, since he has the best program. As he stated in the message to the black man, his program is the best. You have not, nobody has not presented a program that could even equal up to what he has. And you know what? You won't be able to produce one, because what he has is from Almighty God, Allah. So let's use his mind. Let's use what Allah gave him on the things that we would need to go for ourselves.
Beautiful. At the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks tonight, we have one of the originators who started out in our first chair at the table. He's with us tonight from Mas Mary. Please welcome our brother, Student Minister Abel Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum, sir.
Wa alaykum salam. How are the brothers doing?
Wonderful, sir. How are you tonight?
Oh, wonderful, by Allah's grace. I apologize for coming on a little bit tardy here, but I've been listening in for quite a few minutes now, and I heard my brother Charles out of Phoenix, and I heard our brother, I believe it was Maurice when I first came on, as well as brother Robert right now, and I'm just enjoying the conversation regarding what has been revealed to us by God himself for our benefit, and to hear these brilliant and spirited minds discuss the plan of Allah and how we might be able to better implement it is just really inspiring to listen to.
Well, let me ask you, Brother Minister, real fast before we shut down this segment of the show. Is it conceivable to you at this time in history, do we have the talent, do we have the education, do we have the people right now, today, 2013, September 10th, to go for separate state and territory right now, if that was agreeable?
Oh, yes, sir. We have everything that we need. I believe the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said it two Savior's Days ago in 2012, that we have all that we need in terms of brain power, in terms of the expertise and know-how and knowledge. What is missing is our unity and the desire to come together and do something for ourselves. Now, of course, this is not by accident. That desire has been stamped out by the enemy's world and system, and he has met, you know, through a precise method, worked to make sure that natural spirit which dwells amongst us for us to unite and do something for self does not exist. But you really can't destroy that any more than you can destroy the God who made himself out of nothing, which we descend from. So he has only worked to try to stamp out that natural divine instinct and light in us, but it's still there in spite of everything. And now we just have to work to bring that unity about so that we may see the need for the benefit of all of our people. And I believe circumstances are continuing to form that will not just allow us to do it, but they'll force us to do it, because unfortunately the time and the circumstances are such, and the enemy has done such a literally hell of a job on us, that God himself had to intervene, and now again is still intervening to make sure that his will be done in spite of ourselves and in spite of all of the enemy's planning. We have what is needed. Now it's just a matter of coming together and making it reality.
Praise be to Allah. Well, we're going to take a pause for the calls right now before we go into the second hour of the show. Brother Rafi, let's see what the soldiers are doing this month, this week, with the Final Call newspaper. Let's see where Muhammad has got the devil on the run with the Final Call newspaper. Well, let's go to Muhammad's Mosque 29, Miami, Florida. That's right, the soldiers of peace, the fruit of Islam. Miami's got the devil on the run with the Final Call news this week. Shout out, soldiers. Keep up the good work. Muhammad's Mosque 55, Memphis, Tennessee, Student Minister Anthony and the soldiers. They got the devil on the run with the Final Call this week. Shout out, soldiers. Muhammad's Mosque number 12, the soldiers in Philadelphia got their boots on the ground with the Final Call news this week. Shout out, soldiers. Muhammad's Mosque 45, Houston, Texas. Muhammad's got the devil on the run in Houston, Texas with the Final Call. Shout out, soldiers. Keep up the good work. Muhammad's Mosque number 15, Atlanta, Georgia. The soldiers of peace, the fruit of Islam, are getting it together for the southern region down in Alabama, inspiring the soldiers throughout the South to receive the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in Tuskegee the weekend of the 20th. Shout out, soldiers. Muhammad's Mosque number 4, Washington, D.C. And Muhammad's got the devil on the running deep. Shout out, soldiers. Keep up the good work. But our number one soldiers of peace this week goes to Muhammad's Mosque 27, Los Angeles. The soldiers in Los Angeles are fast moving, fast thinking, right down to the
times as they got the devil on the run with the final call news, spreading unity and brotherhood throughout California. Shout out, soldiers. If you would like to join the soldiers of peace, the fruit of Islam, under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, just call 773-324-6000 and ask for the office of the FOI and fall in, soldiers, with the Army of Allah. Well, we're right back here at the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks. Shout out to all the FOI who are helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in our communities across America and the world. Right now, we have a breaking news report on the president's speech tonight. Please bring to the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks Brother Brian E. Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, brother, and especially to all of your esteemed guests that's sitting at the round table and all of our esteemed listeners out there. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, brother. Brother Brian E. Muhammad is a contributing writer of the Final Call newspaper that we were just talking about. Brother Brian, what say you? What's the president talking about tonight?
Well, I mean, the president, you know, came before the, really before the world, because this was aired all over the world, and he spoke very short. I mean, it was maybe 15 or 20 minutes. And basically, you know, it was the same appeal that he has been making for war, except the difference now is that, you know, he made it official, the official announcement, that he's going to ask Congress to wait to vote on, you know, where they stand in terms of a vote for war until after they explore this offer that the Russians made to President Putin, you know, of Russia. And that is, you know, to give the chance for whatever chemical weapons that are out there to be handed in, and, you know, as they say, are handled by a neutral party. And, you know, but basically outside of that, it was more of the same. And the one thing that was conspicuously absent, that has been conspicuously absent, even in many of the commentators, is the proof. Where, you know, nobody denies that something happened. Nobody, you know. And in fact, the president made an appeal to the American people and to Congress to continue to review the footage of the bodies and of these victims in Syria. You know, but again, looking at pictures and looking at film footage does not define where did the violation come from, who did the violation, you see. And so without that piece of information, no matter how much we look at the footage, the fundamental question remains unanswered, you know, because you cannot say Assad did this or the Syrian government did this. You can't say the rebels did it. You can't say anybody done it specifically until you do the investigation into that specific question. And that has been conspicuously absent from many of the commentators and certainly from the government of America and certainly from the mouth of the president tonight. So it's basically it was the same appeal, you know, for war. It was the same, justification in his mind. To go in and bomb, but the only difference now is he is asking Congress to refrain their vote until after the what was put on the table by Russia is explored.
Okay, all right. Do you have the letter to Congress that the minister wrote September 5th before? Would you please read that before the listening audience?
I sure will, and let me say this to the listening audience. Now, the minister, as we all know, you know, if you go to NOI.org and you go to the specific links to the time and what must be done, all of the reference points in his last broadcast that we have repeated three times, you know, in the public, and of course it can be viewed as many times as you need to view it, all of the reference points that he talked about of his evidence and his proof of what he's saying and where it came from, all those links are there, and I would encourage everybody to take the time to do your own research. You see?
Okay.
And the letter is also posted, as you know, as well as a new free ebook on America's, called America's Errant Foreign Policy. And you should download that, email it to as many people as you can, especially your Congress people. Even though they've gotten it, that you should continue to send it personally as people who live in their respective districts. But let me read this letter to the Congress from the minister.
And the name was written September 5th?
That's correct, September 5th, okay. 2013. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. September 5th, 2013, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. May this letter find you, staff, and family in good health and spirit in spite of prevailing circumstances. I am writing this letter out of a deep concern for the direction that the President and our Congress may take our nation. There exists deep divisions within the Congress over whether this action should be taken, and if so, how far should America go in punishing the Assad regime? The president has said that he wishes to degrade the military and its ability to defend the regime, while at the same time he is giving greater weapons and intelligence support to the rebels to use for whatever time the Congress will give to the president for such action to set up their activity to actualize the overthrow of the Assad regime. Although President Obama says that this will be a limited surgical strike, I am deeply concerned that a larger war will materialize and America will be forced to put American soldiers in harm's way to accomplish their desired results. What is the real purpose of this intervention? What do we plan to do in the event the regime falls and the leadership in Syria falls into the hands of those who are not necessarily friends of America, and another civil war takes place over who will be the political power in Syria? If Russia and others intervene, a possible wider conflict could engulf the entire Middle East. Events and circumstances will manifest that our brightest minds had not considered, making a messy situation even messier. I am pleading with you on behalf of a war-weary American people and the suffering peoples of the world, and the needs of the American people that will be further delayed in being satisfied, which will produce negative results on the inside of America, creating the same kind of backlash and vitriol as we saw when the American people revolted against the war in Vietnam. Please understand that there is another view from the other side that should be heard before such an important decision is made. May Allah, the God of peace and justice that is rooted in truth, guide your heart and mind in a diligent search for the truth that you may make the best decision on behalf of those whom you represent. In closed, please find an ebook and video link to a recent broadcast that I made on this subject matter titled America's Errant Foreign Policy. Best wishes for your success. Sincerely, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, servant to the lost found Nation of Islam in the West.
Thank you, Brother Brian E. Now, you'll be back with us next Tuesday night, is that right?
Yes, sir. I intend to be right there with you all, and looking forward to it.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, beloved. I appreciate your time.
May Allah bless all of you. Thank you.
Thank you. As-salamu alaykum, sir. All right, soldiers, dear brothers, let's get on with time and what must be done. Let me start with Brother Abel real quick, sir. Can you give us a talking point, sir, from the time and what must be done?
Oh, brother, I mean, if we can just take the whole of it, the context, the content in what the minister is talking about in the time, the criticalness of everything that was said and that we've been listening to it now over and over again, it's something that we must take as a body of work and really dissect. In particular, the thing that has always, since the first time I heard the Part 34 broadcast, it was interesting to me the way the minister closed the program with a warning to the president, a warning to Mecca, and a warning to the Nation of Islam. I think it is of great interest for us to understand that when God reveals his word through his messenger, there are layers to this revelation. And it's never just necessarily what it appears like on the surface or at first gleam. It is something that I'm so happy that we've been able to hear now two and three times over, and that now we've been able to read it in the context of the final call. We've been able to ask questions about it, and I think we need to continue to do it, because that warning in the time and what is happening is not just about them dropping bombs over there in some Muslim nation that has been a trouble source to them, or is a trouble source to them, but it's about a Muslim nation here that they would, I believe, do something similar to, if not in a physical sense, then in some other way to have a similar effect. And I think it's incumbent upon us who believe in the truth that was revealed to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and is being given to us in its modern-day guidance by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we have to not just spread the word, but we have to study it intensely so that we can understand it, because it's a warning to us. He's speaking to the president, yes. He's speaking to Congress, yes. He's speaking to Mecca, yes. He's speaking to religious rulers and political rulers, yes. But he's speaking to you and I as well. And we must make sure that we're heeding the call as we're beckoning others to pay attention. We want to make sure we're at the forefront and the foremost in adhering to his guidance and being good representatives and examples of that guidance. But, brother, that to me in particular stood out, that closing that he gave, which was probably about the last 10 minutes or so, maybe 15 at the most, of the broadcast. And I think it's something that we must keep dissecting, especially in the context of the beginning and the rest of that message. He elongated that message past an hour just so he could deliver that specific warning. So I think it's very important. It's something that we must keen in on and make sure that we're not thinking that he's speaking to somebody else, someplace else. That is absolutely for Mecca. It's absolutely for the president. It's absolutely, though, for you and I, not just those who are so-called student ministers or laborers, but those of us who would wish to be on the right side of this conflict. We want to make sure we're heeding that guidance, which is coming directly to us from God's servant.
All praise is due to Allah. Let me go ahead here and start the conversation this way. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, from the time and what must be done on the war of Syria, he says, I think it is America and Europe that are tired of the civil war going on so long without definitive results in the favor of the West and Israel. So it is today, as it was with the America's client state, Iraq, and Saddam Hussein in his war against Ayatollah Khomeini and Iran. America did not want Iran to be the victor in that war. America said a victory for Iran was totally unacceptable to America. Turn So America turned a blind eye for Saddam Hussein's use of chemical weapons that America supplied him, not only killing soldiers but innocent people for the benefit of others. America never raised a cry then for the use of those heinous weapons, because a victory for Iraq would have been in the West's favor by destroying Iran, and a victor for Bashar al-Assad against all that America is doing against him would not be in America's favor or in the favor of Israel. So a military intervention by America and a coalition of the willing to accomplish your objectives would be in your favor. Chief Magistrate Court Justice, what say you, sir? Oh, no, they didn't do that to me, didn't they? Oh, brother, are you still there, Brother Rafi?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm still here, sir.
Wow, did we get cut off?
Yeah, I see him here.
All right, Brother Maurice, are you still there, sir? Is Student Minister Charles still on the line?
Yes, sir.
All right, beloved. What say you, sir? Looks like we with the Blog Talkers messing with the line a little bit, or something's going on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. As it relates to this very timely subject, I turned to an article that's in the Final Call newspaper, written by a guest columnist by the name of Dr. Kevin Barrett, under
yes.
the heading of Syria Chemical Mayhem. Another
okay.
Israeli false flag. And in that article was very, very good information that we all should go back and read it again if we haven't read it, because it has good information in it. But in the second section, it talks about how this whole thing was planned. Well, in the beginning of the article, it talks about on August 21st, just hours after the massacre of hundreds of Syrians with chemical weapons, Israeli Minister of Military Affairs Moshe Ya'alon claimed he knew who did it.
Mm.
The Syrian government. Other world leaders, the article says, including U.S. President Barack Obama, did not rush to judgment. Instead, they called for a United Nations investigation. Many experts, including the BBC's Frank Gardner, former UN weapons inspector Rolf Ekis, and Swedish chemical weapons expert I.K. Sellstrom, ridiculed or cast doubt on the notion that the Syrian President Assad would launch a chemical attack at the exact moment weapons inspectors arrived in Syria. The Russian Foreign Ministry came right out and called the chemical attack a provocation planned in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, when we get to the end of that article, and he outlines quite a few instances, he kind of summarizes some events that, under the heading, "The people of Syria and Egypt must stop falling for Israelis' tricks." In that segment, he says, "And the world must recognize that all of the biggest and most spectacular terror attacks attributed to Israel's Arab and Muslim enemies, from the Levant affair to the USS Liberty massacre, to the Achilles Laurel and Entebbe hijacking incidents, to the bombings of Jewish targets in London and Buenos Aires, to 9/11 and its follow-up operations in Bali, Madrid, London, Mumbai, and elsewhere, have been Israeli-sponsored false flag operations." So that right there is just bringing us back, taking us back on the time track, if you will, to see some of the historical events of these false flag operations that justify those who would kill innocent people. You know, they talk about Assad killing his own people. Well, what are you doing if you're going to go in there and bomb? You're going to be killing innocent people too. They call it collateral damage. You know, so innocent people is going to die. So to heed the warning of God's man today, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and investigate and hold back bombing this country should be the approach that the warning by the minister to America, in particular, President Barack Obama, should heed.
Praise be to Allah. Is the attorney Kenneth Muhammad still there? Well, he got dropped too. How about student minister Muhammad? Is he there?
Yes, sir. I'm still here, beloved.
Yes, sir, beloved. Can you give us a talking point from the time and what must be done, beloved?
Well, yes, sir, brother. I'll go right with my dear brother, student minister Charles, and look at this talking point on the back of what student minister Charles had to say. The deleted Daily Mail's online article provided a copy of the actual email from David Goulding to Philip Daugherty, which reads as follows. Phil, we got a new offer. It's about Syria again. Qatari's proposed an attractive deal and swear that the idea is approved by Washington. We'll have to deliver another CW, chemical weapon. And when you look at that, along with the rest of what that deleted email says, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan pointed out also a map showing these pyramids, if you will, on that map that represented pipelines, that represented other natural resources that America and those that are with America is going after. He also talked to us about seven countries that they look to get rid of in 5 years. Those seven countries, of course, we know that they're going after for their natural resources. The way to do that is always to destabilize the population, to cause these inner wars or civil wars that their proxies do inside of other people's government and other people's countries. So then that when these proxies get trouble started among people, then they'll bring that to the American people, to the British people, to other people, to show that there's a faction in that person's country that is always out to kill or destroy or maim their own people. It's always the government of that own country, but the people
That's
are not
right.
smart enough to see that the American government, what does she do to her own people? What does Great Britain do to their own people? And they'll
yes.
never look, let the world get a peek inside of the shooting down of innocent black and brown men in the streets of America. They'll never let you see how they tase men and women to death, how they hang people in the prisons. You talk about chemical and biological warfare. What about the water that we drink every day? What about the hog that's in our community? What about the mad cow disease and in our community? What about these franken fruits and franken vegetables that in our communities that the cancer population is rising with the black and the brown? So these tricks that America has always used with their allies, if you will call them that, it is only for the resources so that they can keep the imperialist government going, and there has never been a voice that was raised up that had the type of effect that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad put inside of his servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that when he speaks this truth, it pulls the cover off all that they're doing, so they're not able to do what they want to do because the world has become smaller now with the advent of this type of technology where we can be on TV shows, we can be on the computer, and this can get beamed throughout the world. Brothers and all that is listening, don't think that what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is saying is going on deaf ears. It is waking people up. That's why when the president went to Russia, he couldn't get a friend. When he went to Great Britain, he couldn't get a friend to go and join him in bombing Syria. So now, of course, they want to sit back and wait and try another alternative because they couldn't get the roundup of the good old boys that they once had. So thank you, brother. That's my idea on that.
Praise be to Allah. Brother Minister Abel, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, beloved. The Honorable Louis Farrakhan talked about the purifying, the blood that would be shed in the Holy
yes,
Land,
sir.
That would clear that land for the righteous, but he also talked about the warning to the Nation of Islam as well. What say you, sir?
Well, you know, brother, that to me was the, even just hearing you recap it like that right now, it gave me chills when I first heard it. And I think each time I've read it or heard it, it gives me that same type of feeling of knowing the seriousness of all that is happening right now. We know from the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as taught to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that there's always, in order for life to come forth, there's first a show or a letting of blood that takes place. And to know that we are now entering that time where a new life has to come forth, and we're seeing the entry of that letting of blood coming forth, potentially through these wars, or this war to end all wars, that should looks like they're being forced to enter into now. When we look at that, and we who are believers in Allah, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad and his Christ, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and their servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I'm just reminded in the words of the scripture when Jesus was talking with his disciples. And he tells them, don't let your heads hang down. These things must happen. And I think for those of us who are not just watching the time and what must be done, but those of us who believe in the man of this time and are striving to do what he's telling us we must do, it's a time of sort of bittersweetness. Bitter because there are things that he's telling us are going to happen, that the world is going to have to endure, that we are going to have to endure, that do not appear to be and are not, you know, it's nothing pleasant necessarily. But the sweet part of it is knowing that God's promise is true and that we're alive and striving to keep up the pace with that man which God has specially made for this hour, so that every drop that is shed of blood, every life that is returned to its maker, none of it is in vain. None of it is by chance. None of it is without cause and without purpose. And all of it is ultimately to serve the establishment of God's kingdom, which is what we were born into the world to help God's servant do. So it's just a very sobering reality to come face to face with. And we see every day more and more, in particular that area which we know from our lessons is the best part of the planet, which the minister told us should be inhabited by the best nation. And we're just happy to be striving to be qualified as those who could be called members or citizens of that best nation, because it's not being born on a certain landmass. It's not just carrying a certain name or speaking a certain language or any of these kind of arbitrary things. It is the spirit of God being manifest in our willingness to obey his will and submit our will to do his that makes us of the righteous and true citizens of that best nation, that calls to God's way in the best manner, that looks for a way out of war, not because we don't want to fight, but because we're a people of peace. But we know in order to establish that, there's going to have to be that suffering, that bloodshed, and we ask that we be of the worthy ones, that we may be of those who can be fit to be called by his name, and that it not be considered anything less than proper that we be called the children of God, the people of God. And I'm just anxious, brother, as I'm sure you are and the brothers are, to see this thing unroll, but more than just to see it unroll in front of us or unfold in front of us, to do what I believe I was born to do, what you were born to do, what all of us were born to do, to help in establishing this, which is God's kingdom.
Praise be to Allah. I want to go ahead and take this final few minutes and have everyone respond to something that Dr. Martin Luther King said. And since we just had the 50th anniversary, and I'm so sorry, that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was not invited, the number one peacemaker on our planet, the number one person in this country who speaks for independence and land and freedom, justice, and equality for all of us. It just bothered me that he was not there. That's my personal. But I want to go ahead and talk to something that Martin Luther King said in one of his writings, and I would like the ministers to respond. Martin Luther King said, "If the soul is left in darkness, sins will be committed. The guilty one is not he who commits, the guilty one is not he who commits the sin, but he who causes the darkness. The policymakers of politics have caused the darkness. They created discrimination. They created slums. They perpetuate unemployment, ignorance, and poverty. It is uncontestable and deplorable that Negroes have committed crimes, but they are derivative crimes. These crimes are born of the greater crimes of the white society." Student Minister Robert Muhammad, what say you, sir?
Yes, sir, dear brother. Well, with our dear brother Martin Luther King is expressing in that writing or that speech is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us. There is one who is the headmaster of what you could call, I would call it like this. He is the puppeteer. He sets up a society. He sets up the thinking. He sets up the system by which these sins can live and fester. It is a direct result of his being put on the planet in the way that he was made, and his job to be done on the planet by creating this condition that was set up, the actual coming of Allah to do the work of cleaning up the planet from this type of mindset. These things that have been going on in America amongst us as a people for over 450 years, the conditions that are in America that is set up, that comes right out of their founding writing, that they say that all men are created equal, but the men that they were talking about was not all men, all of their men, all of their brotherhood, but some wasn't considered at all, and others was considered to be three-fifths of a human being. So they started out their country, they started out their satellite country on the heels of how they were thinking. So when you look at the ills of society and you trace back the ills of society, those ills of this society have a root. What is the root of homosexualism? What is the root of lesbianism? What is the root of gang banging? What is the root of homes being broken up, babies, daddies? And what is the root of this thing that we're seeing now where you get on the internet and our young girls are twerking and all of the bad things or foul things that you see? That comes from the ruling class of the minds of the people. That class has always been at the forefront of fighting with Allah and Allah's man to be the controlling thought in the minds of the people. So I'll say in brief, so that the other student ministers may be allowed to talk on it, that Martin Luther King was right. If the soul is left in darkness, well, what is the soul that he's talking about that is left in darkness? The soul is not the mind. The soul is something much deeper. It's the nature of the human being. If you strip the nature of the human being or try to get to strip the nature of the human being by glossing it over with falsehood, by glossing it over with all of these illicit things, then you leave that person in darkness. You leave that person acting other than himself. And what comes out of that is the sins against God, the sins against humanity, the sins against community, the sins even against oneself that will be allowed to fester. The great thing about it, dear brother Jihad, is that Allah is on the scene today with his messenger, Messiah, the exalted Christ, yes, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Allah is on the scene today because two of them is backing up the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
and the work that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is doing with them backing them is shedding light and pulling the cover off of the darkness of the soul, and now that the people can have the choice either to go with Allah or go down with their enemy. And I believe as the time go on that our people have choose to go with Allah and his Christ. Thank you, dear brother.
Oh, praise be to Allah. Brother Chester,
yes, sir.
If the soul is left in darkness, sins will be committed. The guilty one is not he who commits the sin, but he who causes the darkness. What say you, sir?
Yes, sir. I agree with Brother Student Minister Robert in his short dissertation on that answer. And it reminds me of what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said in regards to the term darkness. He said that we are entering into a dark period and that we should study the last two surahs of the Holy Quran, chapter 113 and chapter 114. And when we look at those scriptures and study them, the 113th entitled The Dawn and 114 entitled The Men, it gives us guidance that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan directed us to help us in this hour. And it reads, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, say, I seek refuge in the Lord of the dawn from the evil of that which he has created and from the evil of intense darkness, not if it comes, but when it comes, and from the evil of those who cast evil suggestions in firm resolutions, and from the evil of the envier when he envies. The ultimate envy is from Satan himself, and his ultimate goal is to kill the messenger of God. So in this time, we have a time of treachery. We have a time of betrayal. We have a time of those who would say that they're your friend, but they're not your friend. You have those who would break their oaths, you know, when they give an oath, seemingly sincere. So we have entered into that dark hour that the minister has cautioned us for, but we must seek refuge in Allah, because the Quran teaches us also that only Allah, his messenger, and the true believer is our friend. Now, in this hour, we are all tested. We are taught in our supreme wisdom that we are all under examination. And the first examination is by the apostle. The apostle in our midst today is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He is the one who has been anointed and appointed by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and sat in his seat during the theology of time. So this goal of destruction of the light of God so that Satan could have his way, this is that great war of Armageddon that is on the outside and on the inside, in the minds and hearts of each and every one of us who consider ourselves a believer. We have to strive hard to make sure that the hard trials that is necessary to establish the truth, that we could pass those tests to establish the truth in ourselves. So this dark hour, we must seek refuge in Allah. We must bind together in unity with ourselves. We must work out all of our problems and move forward to the goal of building the kingdom of God on earth.
Praise be to Allah. Brother Student Minister Abel, if the soul is left in darkness, sins will be committed. The guilty one is not he who commits the sin, but he who causes the darkness. The policymakers of politics have caused that darkness. They created discrimination. They created slums. They perpetuate unemployment, ignorance, and poverty. It is uncontestable and deplorable that Negroes have committed crimes, but they are derivative crimes. These crimes are born of the greater crimes of the white society. Martin Luther King. What say you, Brother Minister Abel?
Brother, I have to agree absolutely wholeheartedly with what my brothers just said, Brother Robert and Brother Charles, and just after hearing you read it again, I keep thinking of what this battle is really about. This battle is God himself coming to take down not devils, but the devil maker, Satan himself, who has established a world where he's manufacturing devils every day, even trying to make them out of the righteous themselves. But as I believe Brother Robert said a few minutes ago, trying to even really get into the very nature of us. Fortunately, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that you cannot alter or change the nature of a thing. But what they've attempted to do is create an atmosphere where no light can enter into us to feed our natural propensity towards righteousness. They've succeeded in impinging part of their way of behavior and thinking upon us, but it doesn't fit our nature. That's why we're in the hell of a condition that we're in, because it doesn't suit us well. We're not designed to lie. We're not designed to steal. We're not designed to murder. But we're in a system and world that absolutely gives us no real alternatives, because it has cut off the light, and that's why you see the intense hatred for the man of light, the man who is the presence of light, which is God's wisdom and will in the form of a revealed word that he's giving to us. So all of us who are blind, all of us who are deaf, all of us who are dumb, now we sound something like a wise man. Now we look something like a righteous person. Now we're attempting to live civilized lives, not because it wasn't already naturally in us, but because in spite of the walls and barriers that the enemy put up, God came and intervened anyway and has given to us a messenger today in the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to really cast light, to give us real justice, to not just punish the poor brother who out of circumstances is a victim of laws, not just to punish the poor sister who out of her situation does things based off her limited knowledge that may be in error, but he comes to punish the real arch deceiver, that satanic mind, that satanic being that has established such a world where even the righteous have a hard time living a life in harmony with their own nature. That's what God's messenger is clearly putting before us, two signs, one of life and one of death. We've experienced death, but unfortunately in this system, we've been made to look at the victim as though he is somehow the problem. So they have our older generation condemning the young brothers and sisters on the street, the hip-hop generation being condemned for how they dress, how they speak, when God's servant is telling us what we're looking at in that generation. Mm-hmm. We're looking at a generation born for the Messiah, so I'm just so happy to hear those words, which I believe are from Dr. King, partially quoting Victor Hugo as well, the great writer from France.
Yes.
Who wrote, and it's a good movie for you, for everyone to watch, called Les Misérables. It's about slavery. It's about rebellion. It's about injustice. It's about those on top with wicked satanic minds trying to keep dominion and creating circumstances for innocent men and women to have to live illicit lives just to make ends meet for their family. It's really the story of the oppressed and the poor and the people of God. And I would love for us to just close on this note for my comment here, brother, is just to say that God has come to shed light on all that has been hidden, starting with that wicked one who has made us think that we're born in sin, who's made us think that we're less than what we really are, which is the direct descendants and people of God himself. He starts by coming and teaching us who we are,
which is putting light upon the natural light that already exists in us, which the enemy has tried to snuff out. But then he comes and magnifies that light by giving us a vessel, a man, a living example of what uprightness, of what obedience to God looks like, so that we as young men, young women who are striving to obey God and submit to the naturalness of what he already put in us can now have an example, and then we have light times light. And if we continue down that path, we will continue to stamp out this system and this world, first by stamping out the enemy's thinking in ourselves, by accepting the new, better way, the more natural way of not just thinking, but acting and living and speaking, so that we can look at each other and not see each other as Negroes and Latinos and Indians and Africans or whatnot. No, we see each other as we are, because God has come and raised up one for us, which is a light-giving sun, so that we may see clearly and not be like that man that Jesus found, who saw men as trees. We see white men as giants. We see the government as too powerful for anyone or anything, but there's a little black man right now alive in America, right up the street here in Chicago, who's showing the world that if you stand with God and God is with you in standing, you can march down and look down and challenge down any enemy, not out of some vain, crazy, boastful speech, but out of sincere faith in God to do what is right, that the world may see and know the God of truth and peace and love and light. And that's the light that we're finally being introduced to, because the enemy who deceived us and attempted to darken our existence, remove that light, could not do it, and now it's too late, because God has come to bring us together to establish his kingdom, where all, we all can live in peace and unity together.
Praise be to Allah, sir. Thank you so much, Brother Abel. Very powerful teaching, brother. Brother Robert, sir, your closing statements for tonight, sir. Talk to the people from the heart on whatever you want, my brother. Time and what must be done, or just talk to the people from your heart. Thank you again, sir, for being with us tonight.
Well, thank you, dear Brother Jihad, and again, all of your staff. And I thank these wonderful and beautiful student ministers that are on the phone tonight for helping to get the word out and the understanding out of what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is trying to do. I would like to close tonight congratulating you on the one-year anniversary of your show. And to all of those that are in the listening audience, I think that's the significance of the show that we're on, the radio broadcast that we're on tonight, is that this dear brother, Jihad, has taken upon himself with others of like minds to invite us on to be able to echo the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that we might be able to touch lives. Brother Jihad, you spoke about many countries that were on the radio broadcast tonight that could be listening in, and I'm sure all of us are honored to be able to represent that great man, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, as he represents the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Allah. So I would say to you, dear brother, continue up the good work, continue up the fight and the cause, continue up the spirit that you have to help that great man resurrect our people in the minds of our people out of that darkness and out of the depth of ignorance. And as I leave with these remarks, the minister, in giving that very timely subject, the time, and not what should be done or what could be done, there is no other solution. The time and what must be done from the solution that Allah gave to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Thank you, Brother Jihad, and may Allah continue to bless you, dear brother, and all of your radio broadcasts. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you again, Brother Minister. Thank you, sir. Brother Minister Charles, what say you, sir? A closing statement, if you would, sir, from the heart. And again, brother, it's always an honor. And I'll be seeing you in a few days, beloved. As you know, the show is relocating to Phoenix in a few days. So I'll see you and get a chance. Yes, I'll get a chance to enjoy those Sunday fireball lectures, brother, with my fire hose to put the fires out for you. Because I know I know what you're doing on Sunday. So, but give us a talking point, sir, that you would like to close with tonight.
Well, just again, Brother Jihad, I just want to thank you again for allowing, inviting me and us on the show to share these airwaves to disseminate truth. And just one quick comment that I have. I was reading in the Closing the Gap, and the Brother Jibril Muhammad, one of our, if not the premier scholar in our nation, made a point about Minister Farrakhan, and I think it's appropriate for this time, even though he referenced it, but it wasn't so time sensitive that it was just locked into that moment, because it extends to right now, and that is the stand of Michael. Michael, the archangel who would do war with the enemy. And Michael, as Brother Jibril points out, he took a stand in 1977 to reestablish the Nation of Islam. That's the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But Michael, as it talks about who will make war with the beast in the book of Revelation, we can see that same type of spirit that Michael takes a stand. And as we can see, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan taking a stand. I mean to take a stand. I mean to stand up. I mean, you know, to, I don't know if you're feeling me or not, but to stand.
I'm with you.
To be locked down in a foundation of truth and righteousness. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has took a stand. A firm stand rooted in truth, backed by two, the great Mahdi, God in person, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the exalted Christ, the Messiah. So that's all I wanted to say, brother. This mighty stand that our brother has taken by this man that we know of as Minister Farrakhan. That's what we know him as, is Minister Farrakhan.
Go ahead.
But who
praise
is this
be
man?
To Allah. Yes,
thank
sir.
You. Thank,
thank you.
You,
brother. Thank you, sir. Brother Abel, sir?
Yes, sir.
You have the last word, sir. Welcome home. Back to your original seat at the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talk. Listening audience, this brother here started the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks. He was the first seat. We agreed that the time and what must be done. This seat was originated by Brother Abel, Brother Tony Muhammad out of Miami. Shout out, soldier. Love you. And also myself. And we agreed that the time and what must be done. We will follow the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan every week. So this seat, Farrakhan, the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks, was conceived by Brother Abel and Brother Tony and myself. And, Brother, thank you for being with us tonight, sir. Welcome back home. What say you, sir, on a closing closing statement?
Oh, brother, I just want to say first, I thank Almighty God Allah for you and your consistency and your willingness to overcome whatever obstacles, to rearrange schedules, to do what had to be done to make sure that this program, which is helping, inshallah, if it is the will of Allah, it helps people to better understand the mission and purpose of the work of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is really immeasurable. It's really astounding. It's really an honor to know you, brother, to know you have the heart and the desire to want to help like that and to open up the I don't know if they're airwaves or open up the stream of via the internet so that people can and allow us who are students of the great teacher to have an opportunity to speak with the people and hopefully contribute in a positive way to the development of ourselves and the development of our our community, not just those who are so-called believers in the Nation of Islam, but all those who would wish to understand or just know better and have greater information. I really thank Allah for you, brother, and your dedication in this, and Brother Rafi, who's always, I know, behind the boards over there, and the rest of the team and the brothers and sisters who have been on the program. I thank Allah for each of you, because every time I've tuned in, even when I wasn't able to call in, I was blessed to learn something, to be inspired, to be educated, and there's really the biggest compliment to me that I could give you is I heard from different tones, different speakers, some male, some female, but I heard the wisdom of our Father being spoken. And that,
yes,
to
sir.
Me is the greatest thing that we could wish to do, is to properly represent that wisdom in those great men who God has given to us. And I just want to close with this, just following up with our beautiful brother said, you know, that name Michael,
mm-hmm.
the scholars are a little confounded by its meaning.
Mm-hmm.
They say it means, they say his name is a question that means,
exactly.
who
is God?
Who is God?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. And I heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan say that it is possibly because that man, in his being, he defines or explains or points out to us who God is. When you see Michael, you're looking at the presence of God amongst human beings. So you no longer have to ask who is God. When Michael is on the scene, the reality of God is on the scene.
Come
and
on.
And what we're looking at today in the time and what must be done, if it is the time that Satan must be exposed, well, there's only one being in the universe who has that knowledge, not just to expose, but then has the knowledge, wisdom, and ability to then contend with that being called Satan and eradicate him. Who can make war with that beast? It can't be but God himself. And when we see a black man from America standing up on behalf of the aboriginal people of the planet Earth, representing that great creature of freedom, justice, and equality, the Christ and Messiah, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when his servant stands up and tells us what time it is and what we must do, that is telling us not just who Satan is, but he's showing to us who and what God is, so that we may stand up, accept our own, and be ourselves. I thank you, brother, for being unafraid to go out on the front line. And I thank those brothers and sisters who contributed and have been willing to run out on the front line to try to have some support for, you know, in that book of Revelations, it's not Michael that goes to war by himself with the beast. He goes to war with the beast and his angels versus Michael and his angels. And I'm not saying we're angels, but I'm saying if Michael's on scene, I want to try to be next to him and on the front lines with him, so that
That's
we may
right.
know who and what we are. So I'm with you and with all of us who are running to that place, not because we have the power to make war with the beast, but the one with the power is present. I'm just trying to stay close to him so that I can be ready to land my little blow or throw my little lance forward in whatever way I can to help God's kingdom be established. And if it's the last thing that we do or that I do personally, I'll speak for myself, let me just be part of that, which helps to bring in that which I know is going to be happening. And there's no better place than to see that come in than to be standing on the front line with my brothers and my sisters. So thank you, brothers, and may Allah continue to bless us all to be better and greater servants of our people and helpers of God's messenger and servants. Thank you again, brother, and may Allah bless you with another successful tour of duty in the year to come.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Brother Minister Abel. And you all may get upset, but next week it's another Fireball Show. We will be commemorating on the 17th, which falls on a Tuesday night, the 28th anniversary of the minister's More Than a Vision-like Experience with his Lord from the Wheel. That's next week. Now, Brother Charles, I know you might try to, I know you might want to come back next week, brother. But, yes, that's next week. That's next week in part two of put the Muslim program to Congress as well as the time and what must be done. Next week it'll be student assistant minister David Muhammad out of Milwaukee, Brother Ali Muhammad out of Florida, Brother Willie Muhammad out of New Orleans, Brother former captain, state captain Ray Muhammad will be here out of Atlanta. Next week it's going to be another fireball night, continuation of the celebration of the show. Is our sister, protocol director, hardest working woman on Blog Talk Radio, Sister Protocol, Queen Aziza Mariam on the line?
Yes, sir, I am. Assalamu alaikum, family.
Wa alaikum salam, sis. What's
going on?
I heard you wanted to get in here for a minute before we shut it down. What's going on with you?
Well, of course, I have to be here to share some history about this show and, of course, congratulate you on one full year of being the host of Out on the Front Line with the Fruit of Islam. And I wanted to share with the brothers, I wanted to first thank Brother Minister Abel and Brother Brian and Brother Minister Robert, who instructed me that I needed to come home to my number 54 earlier this evening, and I make sure I'll do that sometime in the near future, and all of you who have been on here. But I want to thank, of course, our engineer, Brother Rafi Muhammad, who's
quiet,
but he's always right there. And
That's right.
We love you, Brother Rafi, and we appreciate
you. Absolutely, Rafi.
And I want to tell you, you know, when we started this, when I created this show, it was called The Real FOI, and I created it because we had some perpetrators on the line, and we bounced around with a few hosts. But I tell you, Allah gives you what you need when you need it. Brother Jihad came along and changed the name, and I didn't want him to change the name, but all praise is due to Allah. It has been a smashing success. And Brother Jihad, I want to thank you for your hard work, your dedication. I have never seen anyone work so hard to do a show, even harder than myself. You think I work hard, but not compared to you, dear brother. So I thank you so much, and I wanted to share with you. I had to pull some teeth and threaten some people and break some arms because, you know, I'm a thug first. But I had to get this information to you. I wanted to share with you on your one-year anniversary that your show by itself has reached 43,172 people, not including this show, for the past year. So you have touched the lives of so many, beloved, and I just want to thank you for just being, you know, the most magnificent host. But most of all, Brother Jihad, over this past year, as you know, I've gotten to know you. So just getting to know you as my brother, as my friend, we laugh, we talk, we, you know, we have that special bond. I love you so, so very much, and I thank Allah for you. So congratulations, and of course, I'm looking forward to many, many more years with you, and of course, all of the panelists who've ever been on, we thank you so very much. And that was all I wanted to say. I had to get mushy for a minute.
Thank you, sis. Praise be to Allah. Thank you so much, sis. We're going to continue on this celebration next week. So we got plenty of more time. We got some more guests coming on the 24th as well. But I'm going to close out tonight because, you know, I like to stay true to the discipline. Brother Rafi, let's ride, soldier. That's our show this week. We want to thank all our guests for coming out tonight. Student Minister Abel Muhammad, Student Minister Robert Muhammad of Compton, California, Student Minister Charles Muhammad of Phoenix, Arizona, Chief Magistrate Court Justice Maurice Muhammad of Birmingham, Alabama, and the People's Attorney, Brother Kenneth Muhammad of Atlanta, Georgia. Don't forget to tune in this Saturday to The Time and What Must Be Done by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. The time, 6 o'clock Central Time. Just go to www.noi.org. Also, on Sunday morning, the Nation of Islam webcast at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time. just go to www.noi.org. On Twitter, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said these words, and I quote, "You have to change, not only you, but we, all of us, are in the valley of decision. Which way will you go?" I repeat, you have to change, not only you, but we, all of us, are in the valley of decision. Which way will you go? Close quote. On behalf of the Nation of Islam and the supporters and friends from America and around the world, we love you, dear Apostle, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and thank you for the time and what must be done. Original salute to our Supreme Captain Mustafa Farrakhan and the FOI staff. If you would like to join the Nation of Islam in an area near you, just call the National Center in Chicago, Illinois at 773-324-6000. To purchase the Final Call products, just go to www.store.finalcall.com or call 1-866-602-1230, extension 322. Here's wisdom from the Messenger of Messiah, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, from his writings of Missions to the Black Man. The Civil Rights Bill and integration will not stand and can never bring independence to you and your people, no matter who is president. The wisest and surest way to success is to unite behind me. I assure you that with the help of Allah, you will accomplish your goals, money, good homes, and friendship in all walks of life. So let us unite under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We don't need to beg nobody a job. Let us unite under the banner of freedom, justice, and equality and produce a future for ourselves. May Allah bless us with the light of understanding. Aloha. Assalamu alaikum.